We're talking about sexual abuse investigations in the clergy on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a difficult conversation, and this hour could be disturbing, so please take care. 9 months ago, with survivors standing in the backdrop, Attorney General Josh Call announced an investigation into clergy sexual abuse.
We're conducting this review to get greater accountability and to promote healing for victims.
Courtesy WTMJ-TV there, the State Justice Department launched a website and a hotline calling on survivors of abuse or anyone with information to come forward. What are your thoughts on investigating former priests? What does justice look like? 800-642-1234. Peter Isley is founding member for Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, or SNAP. He is a survivor of childhood sexual assault by a Wisconsin priest and director of NAIT's mission. Peter, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Let's take stock first. As you're well aware, the Justice Department opened its investigation in April, asking people to come forward with anything, anything. And then in October, DOJ says it's received nearly 180 reports or cases. How do you feel the investigation has progressed over the last 9 months?
Well, I mean, it's been 9 months since this investigation was launched. And what's important is that not just that survivors were with the attorney general behind him at that press conference, but the five district attorneys of Wisconsin that are in the five counties where each diocese is headquartered. And promises were made to survivors, to victims, our families. Our organization, NAIT's Mission, is a Wisconsin-based organization of victims and survivors and whistleblowers, that there was going to be full accountability, that the attorney general was going to take the evidence wherever it leads, that no information is too small, that it's going to be followed up. Immediately after that, the Catholic bishops of this state, led by Archbishop Lestecky of Milwaukee, openly proclaimed to the Catholic community and to the citizens of this state that they were not going to cooperate with this investigation. So we have that's the opening. That's how it opened up. So we have this opening move in which this organization, which is under investigation for child sexual abuse by hundreds of clergy, and I can tell you in the documents that have been given to the Attorney General by NAIT's Mission, given to us by church whistleblowers around the state, that this includes not just clergy and not just former priests, but there are lists compiled by the Milwaukee Archdiocese and by the Green Bay Diocese that include hundreds of names and information about alleged offenders that have not been apparently investigated or prosecuted at all. So these lists, the church's defense is that they have been transparent, that they have released to the public a registry, the diocese, each diocese, not the superior diocese, incidentally, they have not released a single name or piece of information, but that this is a true and accurate and transparent list. These are the clergy that raped and sexually assaulted children in our diocese or archdiocese over the past several decades. And what this evidence clearly shows is that there are hundreds, and I mean literally hundreds, of alleged abusers that have simply not been investigated by anyone except by the Catholic Church, by themselves. So just to give a sense of the kind of scope and alarm for this, and this is why we delivered these documents, in the Milwaukee Archdiocese, there are 219 names in these documents that are not on their magical list that they produced. How can you have 219 alleged offenders that have disappeared? Where are they? Who are they? Teachers and choir directors and individuals like that have worked or volunteered in the church.
I just want to pause here to reintroduce you. Peter Isley with us, founding member for Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, or SNAP, and director of Nate's Mission. Let's take a moment to just acknowledge Nate Lindstrom, Nate's Mission. Nate accused multiple priests at St. Norbert Abbey in De Pere of sexually abusing him in the 80s, died by suicide in 2020. What can we take away from Nate's story, Nate's tragedy?
Nate was such a, you know, it's hard to talk about him because of the kind of person that he was. And he represents a tragic number of victims in our state, in our country, and across the world that work globally with this, who have taken their lives. They reach such a point of despair about this that they saw no recourse but to end their lives. And it's such a common trajectory. And I think for Nate, what was so difficult for him was not just the men that abused him as a child, who were his priests, who were his pastors, who were the people that his faith told him, instructed him, were representatives of God, but all of those that were involved in with these offenders, the senior church officials, the provincial of the Norbertine Order, the Bishop of Green Bay, who knew about these men and are responsible for what happened to him and to so many others. And his big concern was that this was never going to be revealed, that there was never going to be accountability. I think if Nate was here today, he would have been so encouraged that finally law enforcement is investigating this. But he would be, I'm afraid at this point, you know, very concerned and worried again that this institution and the people involved with it are not going to be investigated. I've told you about these names in Milwaukee. There's 91 in Green Bay. There is incontrovertible evidence as well that the church officials destroyed criminal evidence, that they destroyed documents, that they shredded documents. In the Green Bay Diocese, those documents, virtually all the abuse-related documents, were destroyed by them right after a Wisconsin Supreme Court decision that diocese could be held accountable by victims.
And I want to just I want to jump in here with I think two cases have been referred to the Brown County DA's office for further investigation from the DOJ statewide probe. Do you expect more? I mean, based on the documents that you've provided, do you expect more triage and then DOJ passing the reports to local investigators? How do you see accountability playing out?
Well, that's the problem. If the church is not going to supply the evidence and documents, and they have said they won't, and there's no indication at this point that they are, there's absolutely no indication. They have decided what they'll cooperate with. If the DOJ contacts them about a case that you know, they consider to be substantiated, apparently in their words, then they'll cooperate. But what the DOJ needs to do is subpoena these dioceses and religious orders. There's no evidence of destruction of criminal evidence, of cover up, the people involved in this. I mean, I think our concern is that the church is simply too politically powerful and financially powerful for the Department of Justice to take this on. And, you know, that's our concern. So that's why whistleblowers are getting this evidence and documents to us so we can get it to them. The question now is, if the diocese continue to not cooperate with this investigation, I mean, the Milwaukee Archdiocese has a major capital campaign going on right now. And you have to wonder as a donor, why should I give money to an organization that has openly and defiantly refused to cooperate with child abuse investigations? And we have to see a much more aggressive, we're hoping for a much more aggressive stance. You just cannot openly defy the Attorney General's inquiry and investigation, and simply it's going to be simply left at that. It's just not acceptable. And there's now thousands and thousands of pages of evidence, and I think more is going to come, that are going to absolutely provide the justification to put this and step this up to where it belongs. And I'm sorry, it just involves a lot of people,
Peter.
Well, that are important in this state, and we simply have to investigate everybody that's been involved in this.
Peter, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Peter Isley, founding member for Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, or SNAP, and director of NAIT's mission. Coming up, we hear from a Catholic organization called Awake Milwaukee, seeking to recognize the abuse of clergy and work toward healing and transformation. Are you a survivor? Do you feel heard and believed? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about clergy sexual abuse on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Please be aware that this hour's conversation may be disturbing, so do take care. It's been 9 months, since the State Justice Department launched a statewide clergy abuse investigation. Attorney General Josh Call talked about the probe with us in November.
We want to continue encouraging people who have information or who were survivors of any institutional abuse to contact our office so that we can take their report.
Do you belong to a church that is supportive of the clergy abuse investigation? What do you think of the investigation? How do you talk about it with fellow parishioners? What actions do you want from the Catholic diocese? 800-642-1234. Sarah Larson is executive director of Awake Milwaukee. That's a Catholic nonprofit whose mission is to highlight the full reality of sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Give us a sense of the work you are doing in Awake Milwaukee, how you're responding to the clergy abuse investigation.
So Awake Milwaukee is made up of many Catholics who are heartbroken and outraged at the crimes that have been committed in our church. And we believe it's our responsibility to work from within the church to address these issues. So we're doing education and advocacy and support for survivors. But really, our broader mission is about reshaping the culture of the church. And so, you know, we're Catholics who want to do the right thing in the face of all of this, and recognizing that the path forward for the church has to come through transparency and accountability and justice. And so we've been very supportive of this investigation. I was part of the press conference announcing it. And, you know, I'm encouraged to know that there are many, many Catholics throughout the state who are supportive of efforts for greater transparency in our church.
When you look at that transparency, you see the registries published, but does that transparency go far enough? What is missing here?
You know, I think that there's a much broader story that hasn't been told. I know many survivors myself that are just now reporting to the investigation. And so, you know, I think that we have to be realistic about the fact that there is a lot that has not been revealed yet. And I think, you know, it's incumbent upon all Catholics to be part of any effort to bring greater truth into the light.
What are some common reasons that Catholics disapprove of how these investigations into clergy sexual abuse are unfolding in the diocese around the state?
That's a really good question. It's something I've thought about a lot. You know, I would start by saying that there are many, many Catholics who do support investigations like this and who want to stand with survivors and make our church better. But the reality is these are really hard truths to face. And we know that whatever is uncovered in this investigation will likely be painful. And I think for some Catholics, there's just a desire to avoid this. And there's sometimes a defensiveness about the church that you love and a desire to focus on the positive things. But honestly, I think the root of all of it is fear, because you know, it's hard to face these realities. And, you know, we don't always want to look at these hard truths. And I think there are a lot of Catholics who believe this narrative, and I speak from experience because this is what I believed until just a few years ago, that, you know, sexual abuse in the church is a terrible thing that happened a long time ago by a few bad apples and covered up by a few bad bishops. And then when we as a church found out about it, maybe in 2002 with the Boston Globe spotlight investigation, then everyone in the church came together and addressed the problem and fixed it. And now we don't have to think about it anymore. And I think that kind of narrative is one that's pretty common, at least subconsciously, in many Catholics. And so if you truly believe this is true, that there's nothing else to be revealed and there's nothing new that needs to be done, then there would be no need for an investigation. So that's part of why Awake exists, is to help our fellow Catholics kind of overcome these knee-jerk reactions and really listen to survivors and to those who are conducting investigations and consider what God is calling us to do. And ultimately, I believe our Catholic faith calls us to stand with those who have been harmed and to fight for justice.
That narrative that you just told us about is very difficult to hear, I think, because it seems so cut and dry. And this is not an issue that is tidy like that, that you can find a solution. And one person's solution is not another person's justice. I mean, it can look vastly different. So how do you find that healing? How do you start that process?
You know, that's a really hard question. And that's something I think about all the time. I walk with many survivors of abuse, many of whom have remained Catholic, and what each person wants is different. And so I think what we have to start with is really listening to individuals and trying to, you know, understand what they want and what they need, as opposed to us as Catholics saying, here is the solution, here is what we will do. You know, so I think it comes from a place of listening. And then I think also we have to recognize that healing is a long and slow process, and there's really no path to healing that doesn't come through truth and accountability. And so, you know, part of our mission is to work for that healing, but I've come to understand more and more that there's a lot of work to be done along the way, and jumping to this idea of healing and maybe putting this in the past, that we are far too early in this crisis to even really begin to talk about what that final healing looks like.
Mm. We're talking with the executive director of Awake Milwaukee, Sarah Larson, talking about clergy sexual abuse and your insights. 800-642-1234. Let's bring on Patrick in Viroqua. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning and great program. When the Catholic Church of Wisconsin said that they would not cooperate with an investigation by the Attorney General into these matters, by saying they would not cooperate with the investigation, does that make them a criminal organization?
So let's look at that further with Awake Milwaukee and the relationship with parishes and the archdiocese and how you see that in the fold of this investigation. What about cooperation?
You know, I understand that it's a very complicated issue, and I'm not an expert on the legal aspect of things, but I would just say that there are many Catholics out there who support this. And as Peter just spoke about, you know, there are Catholic whistleblowers who want to do the right thing and are sharing information. I know people who are making reports. And so, you know, not every Catholic is going to support this, and I'm afraid that not every Catholic is probably going to welcome the results, you know, with a lot of openness. But, you know, there are many of us who do, and I think that, you know, we're trying to unite together and recognize that, you know, this is a church that we love, that we care about, and that we should be people who are, who want the truth just as much as anyone else, because we can't, you know, we can't avoid it. We can't push our heads in the sand. And, you know, we really want, if we want our church to be better, we need to be ready to wrestle with all of this.
Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah Larson is Executive Director of Awake Milwaukee. Ahead this hour, a survivor of sexual abuse by a Catholic priest and a psychotherapist gives her perspective on what can be done in the pursuit of accountability and closure for victims. What must change to prevent clergy abuse from ever happening again? How is your church talking or not about this issue? What does healing and closure look like to you? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about sexual abuse investigations in the clergy on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a sensitive conversation, and so please do take care. According to the Bishop Accountability Database, 158 dioceses have put out lists of clergy deemed to have substantiated claims of sexual abuse since the first list was published 2 decades ago. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel 2 years ago compiled a list of 177 clergy members who have been confirmed to have abused minors during their time in the Catholic Church. What are next steps in seeking justice? Have you contributed information to the state justice investigation, DOJ investigation? 800-642-1234. Patricia Gallagher Marchant is a psychotherapist in Milwaukee, survivor of sexual abuse from a Catholic priest. Patty, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate, so much for inviting me back. This is always an important opportunity to inform the public on how dire and important this issue is to continue to discuss.
I hear that. Patty, yeah. Let's just take stock for a moment. And I want to know, how do you feel about the state's, the DOJ investigation 9 months in?
Well, first of all, I had a case with the Diocese of Madison in 1991. So I've been waiting 30 years, my family and I, for criminal accountability and justice seeking information to be out front and center. So to have the DOJ and the Attorney General of our state commit to all of us that have suffered terribly and our families that justice will be investigated and possibly served, let's hope. The Catholic Church has been allowed to police themselves. So I'm thrilled that Wisconsin survivors are responding and reporting, and I'm hoping more will continue to have the courage to do so. It's very difficult to disclose the horror we each suffered, and it is horrible to be sexually abused as a child. It's truly life-threatening, especially emotionally, spiritually, and physically life-threatening as folks, men and women, relive those memories. It's PTSD. So let's remember what we're talking about is incredibly serious. And my hope is that all Catholics with good conscience will stand with us to clean up the pain and anguish and make everything transparent. That's how true healing happens.
Nate's mission recently served, you know, these whistleblower documents to the state, delivering many documents to state authorities. Is there something you would like to say about that work, about the effort that it takes to come forward, to provide documentation, to relive these experiences?
Yes, I met Nate's family I was just beyond heartbroken. I spoke at when the Attorney General announced the investigation in April on the Capitol steps with Nate's family proudly. My heart aches for all that they had to bear for years, hoping that their son would be able to work through his pain and anguish. So for them now to share those documents and open up the door for truth and justice to be fully felt, experienced, and known is massive. All of us that have been willing to be outspoken about this have taken a lot of heat. It's really difficult to stand up to a powerful structure of institution like the Catholic Church, because many people don't want to believe this horror happens. So often we are criticized or told that we're not healed, or, you know, Nate's family, what they've had to bear and go through with coming out. I had to bear and go through coming out in 1991. The Catholic Church, there was a report in 1985 to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops by Richard Seip and Thomas Doyle, identifying sexually abusive priests in the United States. There's no excuse in my book that we are still discussing this 35 years, 40 years later.
Decades later.
Decades.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with a survivor of clergy sexual abuse and an activist, Patty Gallagher Marchant, a psychotherapist in Milwaukee, works with survivors. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Kevin is joining us from Milwaukee. Kevin, hi. What would you like to share?
Good morning. First of all, I want to thank you for having this show this morning. I think a lot of people wish this would all go away, but unfortunately, with the lack of transparency from our churches, it just doesn't. I was actually a priest of the Archdiocese for 15 years. I left in 2005. And in 2006, I came out at that time to Archbishop Dolan that I had been sexually abused and other people in the community where I grew up in Ozaukee County. So I am one of these survivors as well, and I've been trying to show my support to the common cause. I just want to commend SNAP and Nate's mission, because they are like the voice for people who are voiceless. When this began, I realized it was sort of a David and Goliath story, that Goliath is huge to kind of slay, and we need little people doing their thing. I really believe that, you know, in a sense, I get hopeless sometimes that none of this is ever going to change until the overriding clerical culture of the Catholic Church changes. I was a part of that clerical culture for 15 years, so I understand it. And I think it's hard for sometimes lay people to understand it, but I think in the clerical culture, there's an attitude that we don't have to play by the same rules as regular people do. It's a very sick thing. It's very pervasive, and it conflicts to me with the gospel. And I just look at this, and sadly, you know, for lay people, I think the only recourse they have with the church is sort of to hit it financially. And I hate to say that, but when it comes down to it, it's more about finances, power, material things, but I think a lot of church leaders, and what it is about spirituality. So I found even my parents, who are both deceased now, they just didn't know what they could do, but they stopped supporting capital campaigns and stewardship appeals, but they just didn't stop doing that. They actually wrote why they were. So I think the diocese, you know, throughout the state, throughout the world, you know, sadly, you know, we'd like all these things to change on a spiritual level with them. But again, I think with that clerical culture, so much of it is about power that unfortunately for Catholic, that's about the only recourse they have. But thanks again for this show, because
Kevin,
there's so
you.
Many broken people there. Thank you.
I just want to ask you before you go, how are you today?
You know, it goes in waves, quite honestly. And there's times, I think, like Catholics in the pews where I'm like, gosh, can't this just go away? But when you see the devastation that it creates, you know, not only on victims, but I found, especially for my parents, who, when this all broke in my life, were in their 80s, They were incredibly dedicated Catholics. They would never miss Mass. They went to Mass every morning, you know, as retired people. And my mother just died in May. And in the last 2 weeks of her life here, she brought it up to me and she apologized again to me that she didn't do enough to help me. And in some ways, I grieve that more than the horrific things I experienced. So it's there and it won't go away until there is more transparency. And as I say, there won't be more transparency until that pervasive clerical culture is addressed.
Well, Kevin,
I don't feel even with Pope Francis, we've had the leadership that is willing, courageous enough to do that.
Kevin, let's hear what Patty has to say. Patty, go ahead.
I completely agree, Kevin, with the impact, what you shared beautifully and sadly about the impact on your parents. My family, my parents were devastated as well. The priest that raped me, sexually violated me at the age of 7, that precious age, groomed my father to gain access to his children, me. He befriended our family. He wined and dined in a sense. He targeted priests that sexually abuse children, often target families and children that are stressed and strained. So my parents were victimized as well. And we lose sight of that community impact. And then because I was abused in my school, the Catholic grade school, my parents believed the Catholic education was the way to go. It was the best education that existed in the 1960s. So these are devout, committed, lovely families that cared deeply and still do, of course, for their children. And then priests took advantage of us and seduced and groomed our whole family system and impacted our school system. It just is devastating, the level of violence and abuse. There's many layers. So it takes a lot of work and commitment to go through the deep grieving process that's essential to heal. And it takes a caring, trusting community as well as supportive friendship network and family network to be carried through that. And victim survivors who are afraid to talk live in severe isolation, depression, anxiety, suicidal thinking, ideation. I mean, I have clients right now at the age of 55 to 65 are for the first time having memories of being sexually abused by priests. So PTSD is it's a real happening. It's really, really, really hard to do the emotional work. It takes a village. So we need a village to surround us, to lift us up. All of us that have courageously survived this horror deserve respect and support from the Catholic community.
We're with Patty Gallagher Marchant, psychotherapist. Still time for your thoughts, your questions on this sensitive conversation. How do you want your diocese to respond? What do you see as clerical culture, as Kevin brought out? How do you want to see churches handle these reports? What is the role of state law, local law enforcement? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, glad you could be here. This hour's conversation is about sexual abuse and the clergy. And do be mindful of its sensitive nature and take care. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin is one of about 24 states that have launched investigations into sexual abuse by clergy. Last summer, the Associated Press reported that the Archdiocese of Milwaukee would not turn over its sealed records to the State Justice Department investigation into clergy sex abuse. Still time for your thoughts on healing, on reconciliation, on where we go from here. 800-642-1234. Patty Gallagher, Marchant, psychotherapist, stays with us for about 9 more minutes. Patty, you were part of a national conversation with the University of Notre Dame in Indiana last year about truth and reconciliation. I think it happened in September. What were your takeaways from that conversation?
Oh, it was a wonderful, really powerful, wonderful. I truly have a hard time finding words to describe. To be with a group of 25 researchers, academic, Catholic leaders, professors, those many of us who've been speaking out about clergy sexual abuse and the importance of recovery efforts, truth and reconciliation options. We had 2 days together, very, very profound conversation occurred. What came out was the importance of making amends. In recovery programs, we know, as a therapist, I work with folks all the time who want to make amends for the pain and suffering they've caused. So we discussed how the daunting task of an institution such as the Catholic Church and the U.S. Catholic Church, how do they begin the hierarchy to make amends? And number one is, of course, full transparency. And we have not yet received that. There's way too many secrets continuing to exist. So full transparency is essential. We discussed the importance of having some forum, a way to come together to honor the variety of victim survivors and their families and needs, and for the clergy to open their eyes and ears to the range of horror and pain we've had to bear. And then we also really spent time on, is there a way that we can recognize this issue historically, a record? Because, like, God forbid, the Holocaust, slavery, big issues that have happened horribly in our history as a nation. This is a horrible truth within the Catholic Church. It truly is for those of us that have had to live with the secret, because many didn't want to hear it. So to make it public, to honor families and victims that have had to bear this, we think is critically important. So all of those issues were discussed, and we're beginning a process. We don't yet know what the next steps will be, but I have true faith in this group of people, as well as others I know who want truth and reconciliation to be out front and center.
Is there any talk about, in the form of justice, sitting down survivors and talking with the church itself, or even in as part of the making amends, bringing people together that way, or is that too difficult?
Well, Peter and I have been involved with this activism work since the early 90s, and we were instrumental in with a group of professionals in Milwaukee in creating listening sessions for the clergy in 2002, 2003, around the Boston scandal. And it fell so flat. It was really, really heart-wrenching to watch victim survivors share their pain and anguish to a very flat. We experienced a lack of emotional support and compassion. It became a legal battle. And so the issue of money, power, and control, and how justice is served is so complicated. I've been meeting with Bishop Hying in Madison, because my case was in the Madison Diocese, and I feel very, very hopeful about the open door that we've established with each other. I don't know where that will go, because the institutional church is masterful at shutting this healing process down and justice work down. So my faith is my guide. I deeply believe that doors will open. My hope is we could have a collective of a group of leaders that would move collaboratively with victims, with their anger, their hurt, their pain, as well as look at the clerical structure, as Kevin shared, break down the barriers that we've had to face and truly make amends. I mean, we need the bishops and the leaders of the church to make amends for covering up these pedophile priests for way too long. The priests that abused, horrifically raped me, for real, abused children from 1965 to 1989. Mm. He never served any time or faced any kind of criminal prosecution. Larry Nassar, the U.S. gymnastics, as we know that case, one person faced public scrutiny. We have thousands of priests that have never owned or faced. Not that they have to be out public, you know, brutally. It's more about making amends and owning what happened for all of us to heal. Healing happens when the toxic pain is released and the victim survivors have been burdened with the toxic pain from the institutional church for way too long, from my point of view.
I wonder, do you have a message for Attorney General Josh Call as DOJ goes forward with this investigation? What message do you have there?
I have deep confidence in the Attorney General and his incredible group of investigators and the DAs from around the state, that they really have our back. They know the plight and the pain of victim survivors, and they will do what's right about the investigations, I deeply believe. I just pray and hope we can release this hardship for all. We'll see in time. I believe they're incredibly capable and competent people working on these cases right now.
We only have a couple seconds left, but I just wonder, what is your message for the Milwaukee Archdiocese that hasn't cooperated with state investigators?
Open your doors. I've treated and know so many dear victims in this diocese, and the suffering is beyond comprehension. Compassion, open your doors to what's truth and justice for all.
Patty, thank you for joining us.
You're so welcome. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Patty Gallagher Marchant, psychotherapist in Milwaukee, survivor of clergy sexual abuse, works with survivors in her practice, has been an activist since the 90s. Earlier, we spoke about state investigations of faith leader abuse with Peter Isley from Nate's Mission and Sarah Larson from Awake Milwaukee. We have a link to the Justice Department's clergy and faith leader abuse online reporting tool. It's at WPR.org/mornings. Hotline to report current and past clergy abuse, that number 877-222-2620. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.